What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Select Backstage Report Podcast for July 1st, 2024, and we are kicking the month off with an awful lot of news. We've had plenty of stuff today already. We got a very interesting story about Forbidden Door coming on Tuesday to Fightful Select, but contract updates and the like, man, there's just so much going on. Love it. Spread the word about Fightful Select. If you guys don't mind, we would greatly appreciate that. But I appreciate you guys just being here. And these pay-per-view weekends are big, man. On any given weekend, we have, you know, our Q&A show, the pay-per-view preview show, the Sour Graps post-show, and then the Weekender. And then we follow it up with the Backstage Report podcast. So proud of what we've done here. And glad that you're here with us. So let's jump right into it. AEW Forbidden Door. Ricochet was not backstage that I heard of and was contractually unable to be on the show. However, Dijak would have been contractually able to be on the show. We'll tell you an awful lot about him later on, but he was backstage at AEW Forbidden Door. Ricochet was actually still under WWE contract. That is no longer the case. His WWE contract was up at midnight, so technically he would have been eligible to come out like right after the show. But he is expected to join All Elite Wrestling. That is a thing that is likely to happen. However, not on Forbidden Door, but WWE knew as of 3-4 weeks ago that he was leaving the company. Samantha Irvin is expected to hang around there as well. No like ill will from what I understood. It seemed fairly amicable split. He put Braun Breaker over pretty heavily on the way out as well. But Ricochet looks like he's AEW bound. Now, a lot of people had speculation that he would face Will Ospreay at All In. But however, that was not the creative plan, at least in recent weeks. EJ Nduka, he was on this weekend's Collision. He's been under contract for over a year there. Jim Ross has been battling some health issues. He was banged up. He was in a cast or a sling or something like that. But Britt Baker, we had found out she was backstage just minutes before. We had that in our Discord. So if you guys haven't utilized our Discord and our live chats, we had noted that she was backstage just a few minutes before, as well as that the WrestleDream announcement or an announcement was coming. Elsewhere in AEW, Hayden Backlund, a Black Label Pro regular, was on the Collision segment with Jericho. Lady Frost working to trademark Murder Gymnastics. Several wrestlers said they weren't sure if they'd have matches on the show until this past week. There has been some progress on a possible Camille debut. And when I say progress, I mean like some materials prepared, like graphics and the like. But AEW Forbidden Door ended up being a success for AEW, at least from a backstage morale standpoint. A lot of people were really enjoying themselves from what I understand. So let's talk about Dijak, the alleged Fightful informant. That's something that I will address off the top. So here's what happened. I reached out to Dijak as soon as his announcement happened. And obviously he knew that we had some idea about his contract and all that. And seemed like, okay, you know what? These guys report accurate information. I will do an interview with them. And we did, but he had a condition. He was like, listen, I want the first time that people hear from me to be on the MXM stream with Mansoor and Mason Madden. So during that stream, he referenced talking to Sean about his contract because he had talked to me about 4 or 5 hours later. We filmed that interview, I want to say 2 or 3 p.m. and ran it the following day. And listen, if that's what gets me the interview, then so be it. So be it. But there were a lot of people that were like, oh my God, Fightful informant, Dijak. Well, I hate to tell you guys, but no, he wasn't. Sorry to say. I will never tell you guys if somebody is a source, but I will absolutely tell you if they aren't, and he wasn't. But he talked at length about his WWE deal. He said there were a few different times. Retribution, first meeting with Vince McMahon, and honestly, when he got drafted to Raw, that he felt like he was kind of screwed. He talked about the name changes and all that. Talked about Main Event and said that he actually enjoyed a lot of the work that he was able to do on Main Event. But he went into great detail about Retribution and how bad that was. And it's so hilarious that people act like he should not be able to criticize that absolutely dog shit storyline. I mean, sincerely, go out there and look at some of the weirdos online that are like, oh, of course he badmouths WWE. They put him in fucking retribution, bro. Retribution, of which started because on a quarterly call in which usually creative and ratings aren't discussed, investors said, hey, what's the deal with creative? It's really bad. You don't have new stars. What's with all the terrible ratings right now? And Vince McMahon put a rush on Retribution as a group, and nobody had any idea they were going to actually be in it. Man. Man. He didn't quite enjoy the way that WWE talent were released. Now, that's also something that got misrepresented. He said that when the releases start happening, people will check out our Twitter pages and websites in order to keep track of who is getting released. There were some people that implied that that meant that people found out that they were being released via us. That doesn't happen. We've never published anybody getting released before they knew they were getting released. He told us that he did not pitch going back to NXT, but was happy to do it. And he was flying himself down for weeks at a time to train and do all that stuff. And he said if he was back at the PC, he was really back at the PC. He also talked about Kenny Omega and AEW and like this weird perception that he hated AEW. And he said that's not the truth. He and Kenny just went back and forth and all that stuff and had a little fun with it. He said that the Amway Center part of the Thunderdome era was one of his coolest experiences of his life in WWE history and how he got to experience Raw. I greatly recommend this. This was a 90-minute interview that was a whole lot of fun. Speaking of MXM, Fightful reported that Mason Madden and Mansoor were backstage at Collision recently, although they weren't used on TV. We're told that they have been in talks with AEW ROH about coming in. I believe they're signed. I've not been given that confirmation as of yet. However, Fightful's in the weeds. Jeremy and Joel break in some news last week. Sinner and Saint have joined TNA Wrestling. Now, before you go, who? Well, that's part of the interview that we did. But Judas Icarus and Travis Williams, I had reported that they were at the Newport tapings in TNA. And I gotta be real with you guys. They blew my goddamn doors off. Pardon the language. They had a match with the Good Hands, and it was really, really fantastic. I mean, obviously, John Skyler in Hotch are great in the ring, and John Skyler's a really good ring general, but a phenomenal match between those two teams. I think you should be looking at both of those teams, but Sinner and the Saint got signed last week, so good news there for TNA's tag team division for sure. MLW hired former NWA name David Marquez as head of production. They are going to start adding some production trucks with the July 12th episode. Former TNA producer David Sahadi has joined the crew as well. Hangman Page looking like he's rejoining the AEW crew. We had reported a few weeks ago that he was scheduled for an imminent return. His vignettes aired this past week. Now, the Young Bucks said that they had a wild card that they were adding to the Owen Hart Cup tournament, and he was going to bring the title back to the Elite. It's heavily implied to be Hangman, but I can't confirm and say, yes, it is Hangman. They could always do, you know, somewhat of a swerve or something like that. But he had always been planned for an early July return and was out without an injury, just a contractually obligated absence there. Rhea Ripley, she sidelined with a shoulder injury. Also, congrats to her and Buddy Matthews on their marriage. Incredible. Couple people that I've had great experiences with doing media. I did a very extensive interview with Buddy, and I've done a number with Rhea, and all the best to them. She was sidelined in April with a shoulder injury that forced her to vacate that women's world title, but she is constantly referenced on TV by Liv Morgan and Judgment Day. There have been reports that Ripley wasn't scheduled for SummerSlam. However, WWE sources had indicated that they have things constructed so that Ripley can slide in and return to her program whenever she's ready, even if it's not an in-ring wrestling capacity. Like, she can come on and do on-screen character stuff. Now, I don't know if there are any creative plans in order for that. However, it is constructed in a manner of which she could return and be on TV before SummerSlam if the situation calls for it and, you know, she wants to and all that stuff. So hopefully we see her back sooner than later. Missa Kate, now a free agent. Joe Alonso is as well. I'll be talking to him soon. But Missa Kate is one that I interviewed a few months ago. 28 years old, former NWA Tag Team Champion with Ren Sinclair, the former Maddie Rynkowski, who is now in NXT. Haven't heard if NXT would be interested in her. However, I have been told that TNA is interested in her. A lot of people interested in the World of Sport return. They took to social media to announce the return of the promotion for two tapings this September. Corey Brennan asked around about their revival from a talent standpoint, and several sources expressed their excitement about another promotion added to that scene. In asking about the lack of a TV deal for the new promotion, Brennan was told that AEW airing on ITV is a factor as to why the latest iteration of World of Sports will air on streaming and their social media channel. Several sources believe the initial tapings on September 14th will be used while shopping future TV rights. Multiple major names in the British scene expressed their belief that if World of Sport do secure a TV deal, it could have a domino effect that leads to WWE taking NXT Europe off ice. We've been working on a bit of an update on NXT Europe. We'll have one hopefully in the coming weeks, but we have seen this in the past where all of a sudden there is a robust UK scene and WWE puts their thumb on it a little bit more. In asking around about the usage of WOS instead of the full name World of Sport Wrestling, we're told it's due to trademark reasons. While asking who is behind the revival, we learned the project was shopped around to major players in the Brit wrestling scene, but was turned down, but that much of the old crew is back for the revival, including with the Goldsmiths, Steve Linsky, and more featuring behind the scenes, while Grado, Shaw Samuels, and more have already been announced for the opening tapings. Good job with Corey Brennan there. He's really cornering the market on a lot of those UK wrestling scoops. So keep your eye on Fightful Select, man. He's got a whole lot of interviews and exclusives coming from there. Well, WWE hitting that market in the Midwest pretty hard. I'm happy about it. Indianapolis is a 2-hour, 45-minute drive for me, and they announced a major deal that would send the Rumble in February 1st next year to Indianapolis. First time ever in February. Not only that, it only happened on January 31st a couple times and January 30th a couple times, but usually was in that last week of January slot. Although, like, the first 15 years was the second to last Sunday or week of January. But that's neither here nor there. News of the possibility was broken by WrestleVotes a couple weeks ago. Confirmed by WWE on June 24th, the Indiana Sports Corp had pushed heavily for those events locally. This solidifies locations for SummerSlam, Mania, and Rumble through 2025 and has two locations in subsequent years nailed down. Now, as far as the possible February destination being discussed, WrestleMania was discussed for May of next year as well. There were a lot of options here. We're told that avoiding the Super Bowl weekend and NFL playoffs were very important to the decision-making. Doesn't mean that it'll remain in February moving forward, but the Super Bowl calendar could absolutely cause that, and the playoff calendar as a result. They've really liked doing these Saturday shows. The press release announced that a future two-night SummerSlam would be coming to Indiana. Those we spoke to in WWE said that the Minnesota expansion to two nights was the start of the event likely moving to two nights moving forward. We've not been told of Royal Rumble expanding to two nights, but when I asked WWE sources about that, they said, well, obviously the Royal Rumble is constructed to where it could be two nights. We could run one night and run one match the other night. So I think that is a possibility moving forward. Some of the positives that WWE sources highlighted to us regarding Indianapolis was the ease of access in the city, the proximity to other major cities. I mean, Lexington, Louisville, Chicago, St. Louis. There's a lot of cities nearby there. And Indianapolis also had a strong showing for peripheral events around the Super Bowl, and they got the indoor stadium as well. So lots of positives there. Obviously, I'm happy about it. Ricky Starks had somebody unhappy last week. He was in the rumor mill after being absent from AEW TV for quite some time. Now, there was a Reddit post that conjured up some discussion and memes and a lot of things that say that Ricky Starks was turning down pitches on AEW TV. Now, I did learn that at least one of those was accurate. He did not want to break up with Big Bill and feud with him. That is absolutely accurate. And he had said that he didn't want Big Bill to lose to him because he didn't think that that benefited either one of them. Just wanted it to be amicable. Now, there were, you know, some of his critics internally that said that they thought that it would launch Big Bill as a big heel and Ricky Starks as a big baby face, but it didn't end up working. The original Reddit post did cite that pitch, and there was also a situation that was cited regarding, or alleging rather, that Ricky Starks had an incident in Calgary. Now, I'll say this. Is it possible that this happened? Yes, it is possible. However, if so, everyone said to have been involved or alleged internally to have been involved completely denied it to a very, very extreme degree. So if it's true, they're doing a really good job of keeping it quiet. Ricky Starks is medically cleared, by the way. There's been conflicting information regarding him and Tony Khan being in contact fairly recently. And regarding everything Starks related, there seems to be conflicting information, to be honest with you. It's a very confusing and frustrating story to cover because one side that should be well within the know will say one thing, and then people close to him or he himself will say, nope, that's not what happened. We do not have firm info on Starks' contract. There are lots of people that believe he wants to go to WWE. However, what does that mean, right? Like, when is that even possible? It's sort of like a moot point right now. I know that he didn't like the lack of follow-up to his Bryan Danielson match. There was some harm done when CM Punk left the company because Ricky Starks was feuding with him. But, man, just a lot of conflicting information there. And hopefully it gets solved because he's very clearly a great talent. Not as good of a talent as Glacier, though. The former WCW star is now working backstage in AEW. We've seen him break up some fights recently, or try to, on TV. He has not completely retired from in-ring action. He worked at QT Marshall's TCW show in February, worked a couple matches in 2022, did the first Casino Battle Royal and AEW in 2019 as well. So he's working as a coach and producer there. Giselle Shaw was interviewed by Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert of In the Weeds. I would encourage you guys to check that out. Giselle Shaw, really fantastic in the ring. Big Taylor Swift fan. Talks about winning the Ultimate X match and said that the structure is humbling because it's hella tall, but didn't have a fear of heights or anything like that. She joked that she was given the name Black Widow because she had Trinity and Deonna Purrazzo's last matches in TNA. And she went from Quintessential Diva to Quintessential Knockout. She wanted to change the narrative on the term Diva, but now she's headed in a different direction because of the return to the TNA terminology as well. WBD and AEW. Now, I have not heard that anything was going to be announced imminently. Like, people, for some reason, cooked up because Tony said they were at the red zone or whatever term he used. I heard it would be this summer. And that's what I had heard earlier this year. And I've talked to WBD sources, AEW sources for quite some time. WBD has still actively been pitching and participating in cross-promotional efforts, including the House of the Dragon stuff, worked with AEW on their Reebok deal. I don't see a situation where there is no deal. And even AEW's weirdest haters seem to have put the, like, stepped off the gas pedal on that, on thinking, oh, there's not going to be a deal, which was more of a thing when WWE hadn't announced their deals. Now, I'll share with you some information that I learned from people in WBD late last year. They were like, no, we're not surprised that WWE has not announced their new deals because they did not feel like 2023 was an environment in which was conducive to the property owners like WWE getting the best deal. They constantly told me they thought it would be pretty well into 2024, which is what happened. And they hadn't said, and they said very similarly for AEW. They're like, yeah, they're probably going to hold out and try to get as good of a deal as they can within 2024 because 2023 was just not that year. Now, I'm told that there are no shortage of options on the table regarding AEW. Now, I want to highlight this. There are people predicting numbers, and I can't necessarily predict a number because there are so many options available here. Is the deal just for Dynamite? Is it for Dynamite, Rampage, Collision? Are Rampage and Collision one block? Is another hour added to Dynamite? Is peripheral shows like reality shows or match and a meal included? What about time slot changes? What about exclusivity, the library? What about streaming pay-per-view or streaming rights and streaming pay-per-view rights? Like, could Max just also stream this on their service while Dynamite's on the air? How about next day rights? How do all that work? There's so many options on the table that it's hard to really make a prediction there. And AEW and WBD do have weekly meetings on Mondays. They discuss integration, creative plans. They prevent any hurdles that the two may face in the days that follow. It's not an accident. They've been trying a variety of different time slots, days, all that stuff as well. They want to see what works the best. Now, there were also rumors last year that WWE and WBD had a meeting, and they did. But WBD told me that they are international partners with WWE, so of course they're going to take that meeting, and of course they're going to have that conversation. And yeah, it was sort of business as usual in that sense. Now, there was a quote given from a WBD source that said, "We're not typically in the habit of making schedule flexibility and giving overruns to properties we aren't confident or interested in." And they really highlighted the doom and gloom forecast about AEW's future and said that it's just not a reality within WBD, that they are feeling that same way. They like the property, they're happy with the property, and they're confident in the property as well. WBD did have interest in 2023 about putting AEW pay-per-views on the Max service, though it was later expected that AEW would likely negotiate their properties together before evaluating the possibility of them individually. WBD, however, has been adamant, whether it be NBA or anything else, that they are not going to overpay for any property, which it seems like they felt like the NBA was in that territory. And one AEW source compared the NBA rights to like an NFL QB setting the contract market and seeing the dominoes fall in that regard. Lana Austin, Rob Drake interview, as well as Simon Miller interview up with Corey Brennan. Make sure you check those out. Simon Miller talked about his injury, talked about the Joe Hendry feud in TNA, talked about working the last match, working Danhausen as well. Lots of cool stuff there. Damian Priest was scheduled for the main event dark match against Jey Uso at MSG. He could not make it due to travel woes. They did Finn Balor versus Jey Uso instead, and then they switched the tag match from Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day to Awesome Truth versus Pretty Deadly. Marcus Mathers, Channing Thomas, and Facade were the security guards that got a lot of attention at the MSG show as well. Wesley, Ora Mensah were backstage at that show. Electro Lopez, Cedric Alexander, Tegan Knox all were as well. We also had Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon at the MSG show. A lot of people saw that. Sources say that the door remains open for Kayla Braxton, a.k.a. Kayla Becker, to return in the future. She is no longer under WWE contract and can do whatever the hell she wants now. Well, WWE can't do whatever they want on Friday Night SmackDown, unfortunately. Lots of censorship issues there. There were a lot of frustrations coming from WWE talent. And they were like, yeah, sometimes it seems like our production, but they'll censor anything. If somebody flips somebody off in the crowd, if you know the crowd chants something, well, obviously you have to for FCC reasons. But there are a lot of people that echoed my sentiment of excitement of WWE moving SmackDown to the USA Network, because they don't really have that problem with NXT. Now, this isn't the reason why those moves were made, but NXT is going to be the remaining WWE property on network TV. And they don't really have a lot of the censorship issues that Raw and SmackDown have. I don't think you're going to see Seth fucking Rollins on WWE Raw or anything. You still got to market the guy. But USA is much more lenient. And I think that once USA Network sees how Netflix takes off with WWE, because I think it'll be really good, I think they'll sort of echo that sentiment. And we'll see. But there was some real frustration. Hey, that's a NordVPN.com/Fightful plug right there. Starting this week, I think I'm just going to try to watch. I'm going to have a two-screen thing and compare them and watch an overseas version. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much to all of you who joined our wonderful show today. This was a loaded show, right? Man, we were here for over 25 minutes talking about a little bit of everything. Usually these go about 15, but spread the word of FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, we're out.